Why do some people achieve extraordinary success while others don't? The answer isn't as simple as raw talent or determination. In Outliers, we discover that success follows hidden patterns far more complex than our cultural myths suggest. The story of Roseto, Pennsylvania, an Italian-American town with remarkably low heart disease rates despite unhealthy habits, sets the stage perfectly. When researchers investigated this medical anomaly, they found nothing special in the residents' diets or genes. What protected them was their extraordinary social structure, three-generation households, front porch gatherings, and dozens of civic organizations creating a powerful community shield against modern stresses. This revelation challenges our individualistic understanding of outcomes, whether health or success, and invites us to look deeper at the invisible contexts shaping our lives. Have you ever wondered why Canadian hockey players are disproportionately born in January, February, and March? This seemingly random pattern reveals something profound about success. With January 1st as the age cutoff date, children born earlier in the year compete against those born later, giving them nearly a year's advantage in physical development. These slightly older kids get selected for elite teams, receiving better coaching and more practice time. What begins as a small, arbitrary advantage compounds dramatically over time. This Matthew effect, named after the biblical passage where the rich get richer, extends far beyond sports. School systems that group children by calendar year create the same advantages for older students. Early readers receive more attention and encouragement, accelerating, while late bloomers fall behind. The troubling reality? These systems waste enormous human potential based on arbitrary factors rather than true ability. Bill Gates had access to a time-sharing computer terminal in 1968 when he was just 13, at a time when most universities didn't even have such technology. The Beatles played 8-hour shows 7 days a week in Hamburg before achieving fame, accumulating approximately 1,200 performances, more than most bands play in their entire careers. What connects these success stories isn't just talent, but opportunity, the chance to practice intensively before others. Research by psychologist Anders Ericsson confirms this pattern. Elite performers consistently accumulate about 10,000 hours of dedicated practice before achieving mastery. But here's the crucial insight. Almost nobody gets that opportunity without special advantages. Gates had rare computer access. The Beatles had unusual performance opportunities. Mozart had a father who was a skilled music teacher. These aren't just stories of talent meeting hard work. They're stories of unusual opportunities allowing for extraordinary amounts of practice. Meet Chris Langan, a man with an estimated IQ between 195 and 210, who taught himself to read at age 3. By conventional measures, he should be wildly successful. Yet Langan spent much of his life working as a bouncer and farmhand. Why? Despite his brilliant mind, he lacked the skills to navigate social institutions. When he lost a scholarship because his mother failed to complete financial aid forms, or when administrators refused to adjust his class schedule, Langan couldn't effectively advocate for himself. Contrast this with Robert Oppenheimer, who talked his way out of attempted murder charges after trying to poison his Cambridge tutor. Oppenheimer's wealthy, educated parents had taught him to negotiate with authority figures, skills Langan never learned growing up in poverty. This comparison reveals something profound. Beyond a certain threshold, around IQ 120, additional intelligence doesn't predict greater achievement. What matters more is practical intelligence, knowing how to navigate systems, persuade others, and customize your environment. And this crucial skill is primarily learned from family. Joe Flom became one of America's most successful lawyers despite facing discrimination as a Jewish attorney in mid-20th century New York. Elite white shoe firms wouldn't hire Jewish lawyers regardless of qualifications, an apparent disadvantage that became his greatest opportunity. Excluded from traditional corporate work, Flom specialized in hostile takeovers, an area established firms considered beneath them. When the merger boom hit in the 1970s, his expertise became invaluable. This pattern appears repeatedly in success stories. Discrimination often pushes talented people into unoccupied niches where they can thrive. Flom also benefited from demographic luck. Born in 1923, he faced less competition for education and jobs than those born just a decade later. His immigrant background provided crucial advantages, too. His parents worked in the garment industry, experiencing meaningful work characterized by autonomy and a direct relationship between effort and reward, values they passed to their son. Success emerges not despite obstacles, but because of how those obstacles shape opportunities and perspectives. Why do certain regions maintain persistent patterns of violence despite changing economic conditions? Why did Korean Air have safety problems until they changed the language spoken in the cockpit? The answer lies in cultural legacies that shape behavior for generations. In Appalachia, early Scotch-Irish settlers from herding economies developed a culture of honor with hair trigger sensitivity to insult, a pattern that research shows remains detectable in their descendants today. Korean Air's safety record improved dramatically when they mandated English in the cockpit, creating a linguistic environment where hierarchy was less embedded and junior officers could speak more directly about potential dangers. Even the mathematical achievement of Asian students traces back to rice farming cultures that required meticulous attention and year-round labor. The Proverbs tell the story. No one who can rise before dawn 360 days a year fails to make his family rich. These cultural legacies create powerful tendencies that operate below conscious awareness, shaping success patterns that can't be attributed to individual choices alone. 12-year-old Marita from the South Bronx wakes at 5:45 a.m., studies until 5 p.m. at Kipp Academy, then tackles homework until midnight. Even her weekends and summers are largely devoted to academics. This grueling schedule represents a bargain. She sacrifices childhood leisure for the promise of a better future. Research shows that lower-income children often learn as much as middle-class children during the school year, but the achievement gap widens during summer breaks when affluent children continue learning through enrichment activities. Kipp addresses this by extending school hours and reducing vacation time. Is it fair that Marita must work so much harder than privileged children to achieve similar opportunities? No. But Kipp represents a practical response to an unfair world. The broader implication is powerful. We shouldn't leave opportunity to chance. The outliers we celebrate, the Bill Gateses and Beatles, benefited from rare, often accidental opportunities. A just society would make such opportunities more widely and systematically available, especially to those from disadvantaged backgrounds.